Reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 690 of your pew Bible. As we continue in this series of knowing God and knowing the things of God, we're going to look at this text to get an understanding about the Word of God and how it helps us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind, knowing God's word, knowing God's word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. I studied Roman history way back when I was an undergrad at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And in a secular history class at a secular university, I learned that the great conquering nation of Rome, in all of their centuries of conquering and controlling other peoples, only had trouble conquering two groups of people that they had conquered. And those two groups of people were the Jewish people and the Christians who came after them. And the history books could find only one possible answer to why Rome had such difficulty controlling these two groups. They each had a written documentation of their faith which defined who they were and how they were supposed to live as a people. The history books say that this written belief system, other nations had religious beliefs and traditions, but they weren't documented like these were. This written belief system gave the Romans fits when it came to govern these two people because they tended to follow their book instead of the emperor. Now, the history book that I was reading didn't mention the fact that the Jews and the Christians were reading the same book. It was the same Bible. The book that made the Jews a thorn in the side of the Romans for 100 years was the same book that allowed the Christians to bring the Roman Empire to a collapse a few hundred years later. The book told them who they were, regardless of what the Romans tried to define them as. It is that same book, the Old Testament, along with the later writings of the apostles, which make up the Bible that we read today. This Bible tells us who we are and how we should live as children of God. But we don't live under the Roman Empire. We claim as Americans that we are free people. So why do we need to be concerned with reading and studying this Bible as these ancient people did? What can the Bible do for us since we're such an advanced people and live in the 21st century with all our science and technologies? Why do we need to read this book called the Bible? Why do we need it? Well, in our text today, I see at least three very good reasons for us to stay in the Word of God. So let's look at them one at a time. Beginning at verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We need the Word for godly living because the Word comes to us from God. The word comes from God. I need to listen to the words of scripture because they come directly from God. The term inspired means God breathed. God breathed on the writers of scripture, and they wrote what God put in their hearts and their minds. It wasn't their words, it was God's words. Everyone who wrote the scrolls and the letters that became part of the Bible wrote the words that God inspired them to write. And that is the foundation of our faith in the Bible. If you don't believe that, then the Bible won't do you any good. That's the foundation of our faith, that it is God's word coming through the lips of man, but the ideas and the thoughts come from God. Each writer wrote according to his own vocabulary. Paul's writings are different from John's, and Moses' writings were different from David, but each one wrote what God inspired them to write. God used human instruments to convey his message to mankind. And that's an important article of our faith. The Bible is inspired by God. Unbelievers claim that the Bible is just a collection of the ideas of man. There is no divine idea behind the words, just the ideas of man. Now, if that were true, then we'd all be in big trouble. Because if that is true, there is no hope. There's no reason to have hope. It would mean that God created man and left him to figure out everything on his own without guidance or direction. Or it would mean what the atheists contend, that there is no God. And that we're all living alone in this universe and our days go by in despair until finally we vanish out of existence when we die. That's why there's so much depression in the world, because so many people buy into that notion that there is no God and that there is a God, he doesn't care about us at all. Well, I've got good news for the discouraged and the depressed. God is real and God cares. That is the gospel message. And I know that God cares because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's good news. Because God cares, he has given us his word so that we might have life. First, he gave us his written word, the Bible. Then he gave us his living word embodied in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to confirm the written word of God. And he did that by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection. So the first element of our faith involves believing that the Bible is God's word to man. And the Bible testifies about itself through the words of those who wrote it. Moses wrote that the Bible is a hidden treasure, a resource, a heritage to those who belong to God. Deuteronomy 29 and 29, Moses wrote, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Moses is saying God left us a great inheritance in his word. And Paul explains that God's dealing with Abraham were written so that we would know how God defines righteousness. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God counted that faith as righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 22. "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised for our justification." It was recorded for our benefit. The Bible was written so that we could read it and know how to get close to God. Paul says that God has given us the written word so that we might have patience and comfort and hope in the things which he shows us in this word. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." If you reject the Bible, you have no reason to have hope. You have no basis for any hope. Without the Bible, you have no assurance of truth in anything that is said anywhere. God gave us his word so that we could know what the truth is. And then Peter adds a word of a reassurance to us about the source of the scriptures. He answers all those doubters who say the Bible is just the thoughts of man and not of God. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The first element of our faith is that the Bible is the word of God. And that should be a cause of joy for all who believe. Joy because of the knowledge that the same Holy Spirit who moved Moses and David and Peter and Paul to write this word is the same Holy Spirit that would guide us to understand this word. That's the reason for our joy, because God wrote something he wants us to know, and then he sent his Spirit to help us understand. So we need the word for godly living, because the word comes to us from God. So that is where we start. We start with the assurance that the word brings to us the truth of God. But what are we looking for in this truth? What do we hope to find? How does it help us? Well, let's look at verse 16 again. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We need the word for godly living, because the word teaches us God's way. The word teaches us God's way. The Bible teaches us how to do the things that God wants us to do. It tells us how to walk upright before God. It instructs us in righteousness. It tells us how to know right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And it also tells us how to get back right when we went wrong. If you do not have a reliable guide as to what is right, then you don't know when you've gone astray. And you won't change your ways if you don't know that you're going wrong. You won't even slow down if you don't notice you're going wrong. For example, the investigators of that tragic plane crash that took the life of John Kennedy Jr. 14 years ago determined in the evidence that it was indicated that his plane crashed into the ocean going full throttle. It was full speed as it crashed into the ocean. And they determined that the plane hit the ocean going at such a high rate of speed that meant that either his instruments had failed him or he did not read his instruments properly. In any case, John didn't know that he was flying perpendicular to the ocean and stood a parallel to it until he hit it. If it had been daylight, he could have seen the danger with his eyes and straightened up. But it was a dark, cloudy night, so his visual skills could not help him. He needed a reliable instrument to direct his flight path. The Bible is our reliable instrument as we go through the darkness of this world. It guides us to let us know when we're going up and when we're going down. There are times when we can't tell up from down, right from left, wrong from right, because of the circumstances we find our lives have surrounded us in. Circumstances in our life bring us to the point where sometimes we get confused about which way to go. But the Bible is our instrument of guidance. And we hear this in the Psalms. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Bible is a light from God to illuminate our path. It tells us how to get where we need to go. The Bible also tells us how to get right when we go astray. When we get off course, it tells us how to get back on course. It is our instruction in righteousness. Often we sense that we're not right with God, but we don't know how to correct our course. How do we get right? Where did that correction come from? Well, this question is dealt with a little earlier in this very same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." The way that you get right with God after you discover that you've gone astray is to return to the word and meditate on God's testimonies about who he is and how we should live that are found in his word. Too often folks try to hide from God when they know they've let God down. But that doesn't seem to work, does it? You cannot hide from God. So you need to come back to God and get the healing that his word provides. Contemplate, study God's ways. And God's ways will seem so much wiser to you after you've gone astray and tried it your own way and failed. His way won't seem so ridiculous when you come back to it. So you need to come back to where God has first showed you that you should be going. Come back to it, and it'll make sense to you now, and you'll see how to walk with God. The Word of God has a way of clearing out all the lies that we tell ourselves, and it gets right down to the source of our problems. And that's painful sometimes. Being honest about what your problem is. But it's like cleaning a wound that's infected on your body. You won't get better until you go through that pain and clean it up. Right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Return to God's word, and all the things that involve your life that are complicated will begin to clear up for you. You still may have a difficult path, but you'll see and know what you must do. We need the word for God to live in because the word teaches us God's way. So where does this leave us? If we believe by faith that the Bible is God's word, and if we know that the Bible teaches us God's way, what else do we need to do to live God? Well, let's look at verse 17. that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need the word for godly living because the word equips us to live godly. The word equips us. What else do we need? Nothing. Nothing. God has given you all the equipment that you need to fight his battles. He has given you the armor that you need to get into the fight. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's given you equipment that you need just to stand up to the devil. And he has defined the enemy for you so that you don't go fighting in the wrong direction against the wrong opponent. So often we fight our battle is against the wrong person. We pick somebody out and that's our enemy. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There may be a person that's a thorn in your side, but that person's just an instrument. The real thorn comes from the enemy of God, the devil. And he's using people. He uses even us sometimes when we let ourselves go on our anger and our fears and our jealousies and all these other vices. The devil uses us. But the Bible says we should be on the other side of the battle, allowing God's Holy Spirit to use us. God has equipped us for the battle. And he's given you the gift that you need to win this battle. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. God has gifted you for success. You just need to use the gift that God has given you. And then God has given you his spirit to empower all the work that you do in his name. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, from the words of Jesus himself, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has empowered you for victory. And God has left us his word as our instruction manual so that we can learn from it how we're supposed to use all the tools that God has given us and do all the things that God has called us to do. God has left us his word so that we can know who we are and how we should act and how we should live as children of the king. Look at the text again, beginning at verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the child of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us his word so that we can know what righteousness is supposed to look like. God has given us his word so we could know what a child of God is supposed to look like. God has given us his word so that we can know who we are. There's a huge problem in our community, the African American community today. Our community is being attacked from without and from within. We're being gunned down by others, and we're also gunning down one another. It's because we don't know who we are. There used to be a time when this book informed us of who we are and what kind of people we were. But we put the book aside and now we don't know who we are. We have no guidance system to direct us on how we should act as a community anymore. And just like John Kennedy, we're about to slam into destruction full speed ahead because we don't know who we are. A community who knows God and what God says about loving thy neighbor as thyself does not gun down 20 people in 5 days. We don't know who we are as a community anymore. And we're certainly not acting as God's children. And we don't know who we are as a nation anymore. A nation that loves God does not watch a man chase a boy and then gun him down and then give him back his freedom and his gun. We don't know who we are as a nation. We're certainly not God's children. And help has to start with the people who believe the word of God. Healing can only start with those of us who believe God's word and start to put it in action. And I know that's true because the Bible said, listen to what God told Solomon about what has to happen for him to straighten out a nation that has gone astray. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says to Solomon, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. We need the word for godly living because the word equips us to live godly. The word equips us. Without the word, we can't do it. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know who we're supposed to be. So now we return to the question with which we began. Why is it important to know the word? We need to know the word because the word comes to us from God. It's God's speaking to his children. We need to know the word because the word teaches us God's way. There's so many ways to do things. We need to know what God's way is. We need to know the word because the word equips us, enables us, empowers us to live godly. But there's another reason that we should stay in the word that encompasses all these three just mentions and adds another. We need to know the word of God because that is the way that we abide in Jesus and receive the blessings of a fruitful life. Jesus told us this in John chapter 15, verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I want to abide in the word so that my prayers will be answered. I want to abide in the word so that my life will be fruitful. I want to abide in the word so that the word can abide in me. I want to abide in the word so that the Lord's promise can abide in me. I want to abide in the word so that the Lord's blessings can abide in me. I want to abide in the word so that the Lord's power can overflow me. I want to abide in the word so that the Lord's glory can abide in me. I want to abide in the word of God so that God's kingdom can abide in me. And I'm determined to abide in God's word. What about you? What about you? My challenge to the church this morning is that each one here make a determination to make the word of God a part of your daily life this week. Make Bible reading a daily habit of yours this week. And that's not hard to do because most of you probably know I include a daily scripture reading right in the bulletin this week. You might not have noticed it, but right in here is a reading for 7 days a week. And it's very short. It's only a couple of verses. Make this your habit. Make this your determination. And some of you may have done it already, to read that Bible verse every day. Start it early in the morning, before the world, the flesh, and the devil speaks to you. Listen to God. See what God has to say. Start your day off talking with God and see if your days and your life doesn't become brighter. Communicate with God every day. God communicates with his people through his word. You'd be surprised how this word that may have been picked randomly, God can use this word on any particular day to speak directly to your situation. But you need to make it a habit to read it. You need the habit to come into God's presence every day in his word. Our challenge is to open our hearts, our minds, our souls so that God can teach us about himself through his word. At this time, I'd like the congregation to stand as the choir comes to sing for us. The challenge starts with prayer. Getting close to God starts with prayer. The way we get to know God is through opening our hearts in prayer. No. I invite the entire church to come to the altar for prayer.
He will guide till the day.
Let us pray.